This is East Lansing Insider, brought to you by ELI on Impact 89 FM. In this show, we break down all of the news and happenings in the East Lansing community. And now, today's East Lansing Insider.
Hello and welcome to another episode of the East Lansing Insider, a news podcast brought to you by East Lansing Info and Impact 89 FM. My name is Andrew Graham, and I'm here today with ELI's Emily Joan Elliott. Emily, how are you doing?
Good. Thank you for having me here today, Andrew.
We are on technically take two of the podcast for this week after an error of my own doing that I will not explain any further on the pod, but suffice to say, we are recording now actually at Impact 89's studios on campus, and so just learning the new audio equipment, and I can say now that I've learned it a little better, we're here to talk about the Northern Tier and it basically what's become an ongoing discussion about it at various City of East Lansing boards and commissions and city council. So I have been the one doing most of the reporting on this, so I had Emily come join me today to kind of grill me on it, so to speak, although it's more of just talking about what other people are talking about. But Emily, I kind of blathering here at this point, so if you want to start to take it away and get me going about the Northern Tier, I think that would be lovely.
Sure, yes. I could say, being this is take two, it's more friendly discussion than grilling. But
we can make it a grilling if I screw up again.
Yeah, if it's take three, it'll become a grilling.
It's a hostile interview.
But we're talking about the Northern Tier. And this conversation was spurred by a specific area of the Northern Tier. So for our listeners who might not be familiar, what is the Northern Tier?
So it's effectively a plot of land on the north end of the city of East Lansing that is bordered. It's Abbott Road on the east, West Road on the north, I believe.
Sounds right.
Something in that vicinity. But it's the northern tier of land of the city. If you look at it on a map, it kind of sits atop the city, so to speak, to the north. And it's sort of less developed than the rest of the city, so to speak, in terms of just, you know, number of buildings, residential areas, businesses, apartments. It's further away from campus, obviously. And the specific plot of land in question that started this whole conversation about the Northern Tier broadly was and is a 26.8 acre, I believe, might be 28.6. Please keep your complaints to yourselves. City-owned land that they're looking to sell for development, and that's after voters approved a sale for development in 2019, I think. And basically the discussion came to council about what might you want to see on this plot of land, and that plot of land in the Northern Tier, the discussion about that led to this whole broader discussion throughout the city, or city government at least, about what to do with the Northern Tier as a whole. Not like get rid of it, but what does the city want to see developed there and built there, and sort of what can it grow into over the next 20 years?
Right. So I think maybe we want to take our listeners through this conversation we've been talking about. So it started in February at City Council. And you had Mr. Menzer from Building and Planning come and show renderings of ideas that could be put there. So can you tell us a bit about those renderings on the one hand, and then the other hand, what developers have expressed interest in doing in that area?
So the renderings or concepts were, so far as I can tell, basically Peter Menzer or somebody from the city had kind of asked this design planning firm, I don't know exactly who they are, to kind of just come up with these renderings or concepts for things that could be built on this plot of land, the 26-acre one, within the current zoning and fitting with the future land use. And they came back with, I can't remember exactly what they were, but I think one of them had a movie theater or something like that. Another one had a shopping center. Sort of the commercial office stuff with think some restaurants and other commercial stuff like that. And then one of the big facets that got called out by council immediately was the surface parking, specifically Jesse Gregg. But those two concepts kind of showed here's what could go here now and sort of what, you know, sort of the, I mean, not grandest, but a sort of bigger, more intensive development could look like. And what's kind of interesting or funny about this case is normally you'd expect developers just go, all right, cool, and then just come in and buy it and do it. But they haven't done that. And apparently there's been some interest, this is according to Mensur, from developers to build housing there potentially. And that's in part because housing will always be in demand, and in part because developers do what will make them money, and things that are in demand usually make you money. So it's not hard to figure that one out. But I think it is fascinating that you kind of expect developers to come in and just build what they can build and make their money and move on, which, fair game, that's what they do. But it's kind of interesting to see them look at this plot and say, I don't, because, you know, a senior living facility, I think, was something that got floated, but there's one nearby, if I'm not
the
mistaken.
The Willows is down the road. An Independence Village is near Meyer.
Yeah, and so it's not like there's a huge need there or something. And so I think it's interesting that, oddly enough, one of the forces that's kind of might be driving this towards more housing and more something more residential, whatever that might be, is actually the would-be developers, because they kind of want to build something there right now that they're not allowed to, basically.
And they're not allowed to based on the current zoning.
Yeah, zoning.
Correct?
And yeah, because I believe it's much of it is B4, if I'm not mistaken. I don't take that complete to the bank, because there's also multiple zonings up there. But it's basically it's like this business office park industrial kind of, like, if you ran a like mechanics workshop, something that kind of thing would be fit in the northern tier. I think I covered an application a few months ago for this is like a warehouse that they basically make like performance car engines or performance car stuff or something. So it's like industrial businessy, but it's not like, you know, a factory like belching smoke or something. It's sort of, think of like your tin roof warehouse garage kind of type building, storage facilities. There's some of those up in the northern tier. Those are allowed up there. So there's been some of that stuff, and that's kind of where it's gone so far, but it's kind of been piecemeal here and there, and nothing really. There's been no real concerted development in the northern tier that I can remember since sort of the Chandler Crossings and a lot of the bigger student housing developments that are up there.
So what I'm hearing is it could be light industry, not heavy.
Yes. So yeah, you could have like a shipping yard for like mid-tier stuff, like home gardening supplies, but I did sort of bulk deliveries or whatever, you know, that kind of stuff. But yeah, not like we smelt iron into steel in the northern tier. Like, you're not going to be having that kind of stuff.
Got it. So we've heard what Peter Mensur and the renderings he had, what he said developers are looking for. So I think the next group of stakeholders, so to speak, are the council members who heard this presentation. What feedback did they give about what they think would be a worthwhile pursuit?
So besides Jesse Gregg, once again, sticking with she's not against surface parking per se. She understands it's a thing that needs to exist, but she prefers multi-levels, and her argument is very logical. So besides the sort of being opposed to massive levels of parking, surface parking, and wanting some more green space, I don't know that there was a specific thing that council members wanted there. I think there were a few different things that Dana Watson mentioned: low to moderate income housing. I believe Lisa Babcock had spoken about the senior living center, I believe, had asked about it and asked about how there were other ones nearby, and
right,
sort of wondering, did that make sense? But I would say the biggest takeaway from council, and what led to the next discussions that we'll talk about, is that council kind of wants to see something kind of strategically planned out, a little more deliberate there. And so where the city can influence that is through planning and zoning. They can't, unless the city wants to develop their own properties, which they kind of can do a little bit. But they kind of want to see something deliberate and something that fits with sort of the future and where the area and where the city is going. And Mayor Ron Bacon got to this a little bit in his, he kind of had a long spiel about the whole thing. And basically his point was there's a lot of new economic development and sort of reshaping of local economies, and specifically in mid-Michigan, out of COVID. And he mentioned there's a new GM's opening a new battery plant in Lansing that's going to employ some, I think, 2,000 or so people, they say, something like that. And his point broadly being that we're, you know, knock on wood, emerging from COVID as a society and sort of reassessing where we're going with development and building things. And, you know, office space isn't that viable anymore. Just isn't.
Right.
Like, that's just a reality. And that's something Lisa Babcock pointed out. She's pointed out repeatedly, and that why build office space when companies are still actively trying to get out of leases for current office space they're in? That's not logical. So just looking at where the economy and sort of, I hate where the economy is headed, is not a really meaningful phrase, but sort of what things are going to be different forever after COVID and what things might come back, and how can we, as a city, as East Lansing, ensure that the northern tier kind of gets developed in a way that makes sense with that. Because if we just go and let someone build a bunch of office building there, it's going to be not that useful.
Right. As a historian, I could appreciate consideration of how these big moments change. Europe was radically changed after the plague and even after the Spanish influenza.
Oh, yeah.
We think of the World War One changes, but that changed.
Because everyone got the flu. Yeah. And well, and I think it is good to see the recognition and the accounting for that in real time, and not sitting here in 2027 and going, man, I wish we wouldn't not
Missed
build office
boat.
Then. Yeah, COVID really changed that. So I think it's good to see that these conversations are happening as the city is emerging from COVID, and not to say they're going to, you know, get it perfectly right or whatever's going to be built in the northern tier everyone's going to love, but the basically acknowledging that whatever had been planned for in 2018 just kind of isn't the reality anymore, and that you have to reconsider what your plans are given the new reality we live in, which is drastically different from 3 years ago, 4 years ago, because of a pandemic. And that's no one's fault, but that's just where we are. And I think that was sort of Bacon's overall point, is that something's different and it's going ahead, and East Lansing should do its diligence to make sure it's in on that and not just kind of dinking around.
Right. I think this is a good point to pivot to where the conversation goes next. So after council, it went to planning commission, and I thought Dan Bowman expressed similar ideas to Ron Bacon, maybe not exactly the same, but he pointed out, you know, office parks had their heyday in the 70s and the 80s. We're entering the third decade of the 21st century. These are outdated ideas, and we need to think big. So what was Planning Commission thinking about should be done with this property?
So I just a quick aside that every time I hear the phrase office parks, I just think of Southfield, Michigan for some reason. Just put that out there. But Dan Bowman, obviously, he has this sort of being, he's the planning and zoning czar of East Lansing. He and David Pearson could sort of have the ultimate arm wrestling match over it or something. But he kind of had a longer point, similar to Bacon's, but different. And Bowman's was more granular about the planning and zoning, naturally, of what do we want here? And what makes sense going forward here? Because what we have and what we had probably doesn't anymore. And Bowman also went a little further, and council was kind of discussing the northern tier, that specific property, which turned into discussing the northern tier. Planning commission was discussing the northern tier, which then turned into Bowman kind of talking about, we could do a lot in the northern tier, but also we can do a lot in the rest of the city, which I will refer people to our pod from last week if they want to learn more about what can be done in the rest of the city, because there's a lot that could be done, and Dan has a lot of ideas, probably both good and bad on that one. Frankly, I couldn't know how all of them would go. But as far as the northern tier, I think what Planning Commission got to, and Bowman and also Chris Wolf touched on this a bit, is, you know, can we have some housing? Housing, does it make sense? And how can we make it even, like, not just building a neighborhood, not just, you know, developer, build a subdivision, you can build a subdivision here, but maybe sort of building those, Chris Wolf admitted, he said it might be kind of a pipe dream, but that sort of self-contained neighborhood or living area in the northern tier where you live there, you've got sort of groceries and stores, and you can walk to work, and it's kind of all, you know, that like first floor retail, second, third floor apartment kind of whatever. So that's like just one vision that got briefly shared at Planning Commission. But I think Dan Bowman's bigger point was, if we're going to open this up, and if we're going to, obviously he would like to do some stuff in the rest of the city, but looking at the northern tier of building housing is one thing, and then you got to go another degree narrower and then another degree narrower. And so it's just sort of the, well, what kind of housing do we want? If we want housing, becomes a very important question, because if you just let somebody build a bunch of like expensive high rises, which would make zero sense in the northern tier for any number of reasons, that's not going to get you what you want. So I think that was an interesting of sort of naturally when the conversation went from council to the Planning Commission, it got a little more honed in on planning and zoning,
right,
of what quite specifically and maybe granularly kind of housing they would want.
Well, I think then we should bring up that Planning Commission has considered what to do in terms of the housing study that a firm completed for the city of East Lansing last year and the near-term housing plan. So can you tell our listeners what those two things are and how they might influence what happens in the northern tier?
Yeah. So it's the near-term housing action plan, Emily.
Excuse me.
There's going to be action. But basically the near-term housing action plan, in sort of the simplest possible terms, is what you need to know from the housing study. Because it's basically, we studied the housing and here's what you can do to sort of fix what needs to be fixed or address things, which is, in my mind, kind of why you do a housing study.
Right.
You didn't. Right. Yay, we know about our housing. Moving on. Like, there's some changes to be made. And one of the big ones is there's sort of this dearth in the middle of the market of options. Mm-hmm. Of, if I'm a student, I can find anything from a very expensive high-rise like the Landmark to living for probably $600 a month with four of my friends in the Bailey neighborhood. And that's cool. Great. Good. Congratulations to the average 21-year-old in East Lansing. And if you have a six-figure salary and a family, you can probably afford to buy a house in East Lansing. And if you're much in between either of those, you're going to start to have a harder time finding housing in East Lansing. And that's kind of the biggest issue at play here, is that there's no attainable housing for people like me, people like you, someone who's just married, or someone who's, you know, young family with a kid, young professional. But like, if for someone like me, if I don't want to live with roommates, I basically can't afford to live in East Lansing.
Right. This is something that has come up just in so many facets of our reporting. It came up with Art Space, which might bring some form of affordable housing for creative types. But there was a talk about creative types moving toward Lansing. And we've covered this with the other high rises that have come up. When I was a visiting assistant professor at MSU and I was moonlighting with Eli, I did a tour of the Hub and did a write-up, and they explained to me the studio apartment for $1,200 was for a young professional like me, and that was just really untenable. And most of my friends fall into this demographic in terms of age and income bracket that really can't afford East Lansing, and a lot of us live on the east side of Lansing.
Oh yeah. Well, and it's amusing to me that, like, Okemos kind of gets this rep as the sort of cushy, ritzy, whatever, bedroom community. And it's like, I can afford to live in Meridian Township. I can't afford to live in East Lansing.
The best affordable apartment I had was in Hazlitt, which is Meridian. It was $525 for a two-bedroom.
Stuff by Lake Lansing, too. It's not that bad.
Yes.
It's actually a nice little spot. Right. And so it's just, and it's not East Lansing's fault that MSU is here and the students kind of warp the housing market. I think
right.
That should be made clear, but it's the reality. It's there's not this middle chunk of the market that East Lansing has said they want to attract more. They want these people living in the city. They've talked about the brain drain from MSU. And if you want recent graduates to stay, they need a place to stay. And that just doesn't exist. And that's kind of where the near-term housing action plan comes in. And maybe the Northern Tier could be a place where housing for people like me or somebody who graduated MSU or somebody who's their spouse and a young kid can actually afford to live in the city they work in and want to live in, maybe.
Right, because I know we talked earlier about how the students might have parental support and paying yes. rent, so therefore rent prices go up as
yeah,
well.
I can charge $1,200 a month for rent in the Landmark or the Hub because the parent, basically, or guardian, just to be honest, is good for it. Like, college students aren't making that much money. It's not. I mean, if you're making that much money in college, you're doing something smarter than being in college. Get out of college. Like, I'll say that. Like, if you are already making that much money.
Recording from MSU, yeah, some advice.
If you are making enough to afford $1,200 in rent when you're 21 and you're still going to college, I have some questions. But that aside, yeah, it's those rents can be sort of artificially driven up by the fact that the market isn't wholly from here. It's kind of this weird decentralized market of sorts because you're bringing in people from all over the place. And so when you're actually looking for where do people in East Lansing have a place to go, it starts to become a lot more challenging. And that's also because of single family zoning and all sorts of stuff like that. But it is difficult because you have a 50,000 student university and that drives up the housing market
right
quite substantially. And it's kind of, I think it's curious to see whether whatever comes in the Northern Tier could really be a sort of release valve of sorts to create a place where housing doesn't get driven up to the top of market prices just because it's new.
Right. So I'll bring us back to this progression of where the conversation has gone. So there was then a March meeting of the Planning Commission, and they discussed the possibility of creating a subcommittee of the Planning Commission or a standalone committee of people from various city boards and commissions. So can you tell us a bit about what a subcommittee or a standalone committee might do in terms of determining what will happen with the Northern Tier?
Absolutely. So a subcommittee would just be the Planning Commission could just at their next meeting vote and say, we're forming a 4-person subcommittee, or they'd probably do an odd number, but on studying the Northern Tier, current zoning, future land uses, and making recommendations to consider and then make recommendations to council. So the Planning Commission could do their own kind of committee to study it pretty readily. They would have to pass a motion of some kind to form it, but it would take 20 minutes at a meeting, I think, if they just sat down and did it. For a standalone committee with members from multiple boards and commissions or members of the public, that would have to go through council. They would have to, similar to the police oversight study committee and oversight commissions, they would have to pass an ordinance basically outlining here's what this committee is, what they're supposed to do, how long it's supposed to take, kind of that stuff. So it seems at this point they're leaning towards more of the standalone committee, because I think the discussion at Planning Commission has moved from just that plot of land to the Northern Tier at large, obviously. And I think there's some desire to incorporate both the Housing Commission and the Transportation Commission into these discussions, as well as the is it the Seniors Commission? And then there's like the Age Friendly. There's a bunch of them. But there was a desire on Planning Commission very clearly expressed to not just have it be them doing this, because I think they recognize that they would all just look at it from a planning and zoning perspective mainly, which is necessary, but that some level of having a housing commissioner serve on a committee that's going to study housing in the Northern Tier makes a lot of sense. Having a transportation commissioner makes a lot of sense, because something that Dan Bowman brought up is if you're going to develop all this stuff, you're not just building a house or houses. You got to build roads and you need sewers and electrical infrastructure and so on and so forth. And so considering not just, you know, well, we have the land and we could change the designated use to be housing, you could do that. But does that make sense? Like, you know, are people from the Housing and Transportation Commission going to go, that doesn't make any sense because XYZ, and what if we did Q instead? And
right.
I don't know. So I think that's where the desire for the standalone committee is, with membership from more than just Planning Commission. That obviously becomes a little bit of a bigger deal. But we're also talking here about potentially making alterations to the master plan, which is a big deal.
Right.
So I think it makes sense to study this thing and to really have a firm grasp on what they're looking at and what they want to do before they do it.
Sure. We have about 3 minutes left, so I guess I just want our listeners to understand, what is the master plan and what does altering it do?
Right. So in the simplest terms I can come up with on the fly, the master plan is kind of laying out how the city is going to be developed, or would be, you know, ideally developed. It doesn't always follow that way. So it basically holds out, it kind of lays out, here's what the zoning is and here's where it's headed. And it sort of has these future land use designations. So what it helps you do is, if a place is going to sort of change the land designation, and it's like, well, we could build housing now, but in 2 years it's going to become all industrial around it and having a residential area that, yeah, it's zoned RM32 right now and we could build houses, but in 2 years it's going to be surrounded by junkyards or something.
Right.
Like, you wouldn't maybe do that. So what it helps you do is sort of zone with an eye on the future and sort of that kind of stuff. And it forces you to plan out what you're doing with the next 5 to 10 years.
Right.
So the last time they addressed it, I think in depth, was 2018. And there's this whole huge process that goes into studying and forming it and approving it. And there's this scheduled 5-year edit effectively to it, or sort of assessment and potential revisions, that's coming up in 2023.
Right.
So this committee, if formed, could take about a year from now and then have some recommendation, suggestion, study, whatever they come up with, ready in time to incorporate into the sort of planned updates to the master plan. So whatever they want to do with the northern tier in terms of planning and zoning could kind of naturally dovetail into the already planned updates to the master plan. So it won't be the work of studying it will be a lot, but it won't be this like extra ordeal theoretically to be doing the changes.
Got it. Well, it'll be interesting to see what we're discussing this time next year, what they've recommended.
They'll be building, build the lazy river. That's I'm going for, that's my campaign to build a lazy river in East Lansing somewhere starts now. I've said it's the Evergreen property should be a lazy river. The northern, build a lazy river. Connect the northern tier to the Evergreen properties with
a lazy river.
don't ask me about winter. I haven't thought that far ahead yet.
You could ice skate down.
Problem solved. Thank you, Emily. You are now my transportation minister. All right. This has been another episode of the East Lansing Insider. We've gone off the rails here at the end. I am Andrew Graham here with Emily Joan Elliott. Emily, thank you again
for joining
me. And this has been another episode of the East Lansing Insider, brought to you by East Lansing Info and Impact 89 FM. Thank you for listening.
East Lansing Insider is brought to you by ELI on Impact 89 FM. We are on the web at eastlansinginfo.news and impact89fm.org. Thanks for listening.